Hello and welcome. My name is Eric Price with Lycor Biosciences. I've been with the company about 9 years. We make a variety of different instrumentation for plant measurements as well as other aspects of the environment and even biotechnology devices. So today I'm going to talk about some new advancements, some improvements we've made to our instrumentation, some new instruments we're introducing. Things that we find are very exciting for plant research as a whole. So I'm going to start out talking about some of the different new features we've assimilated into our photosynthesis systems. We're going to talk a little bit, I'm going to shed some light on spectrometers, and we're going to analyze some of the new aspects of CO2 instruments. So, and yes, all of those were puns, in case you didn't catch it. All right, so we're going to talk about the LA6800 photosynthesis system. This is based on the LA6400 system. Many of you might be familiar with that. Really, we took everything we learned about photosynthesis instrumentation from the 6400 and really tried to improve every aspect in the 6800. So as you see, it looks completely redesigned from the 6400. That's because we really tried to improve the not only the measurements, but just the feel of using the instrument in every way we could. So if you're familiar with the 6400, the 6800 improvements are many. First of all, we start off, the system as a whole is an integrated full-feature fluorometer and gas exchange system. So that's a very powerful setup for measuring chlorophyll fluorescence and gas exchange, photosynthetic rate, and evapotranspiration, including stomatal conductance, measuring that on the same leaf in the same conditions at the same time. That gives you a lot of data that you can make sense of and even use the gas exchange and the fluorescence data together to get more information about what's going on inside the leaf. From stomatal conductance and fluorescence, for example, you can get to mesophyll conductance, you can get to CO2 concentration inside the chloroplast. You get a lot of information that wouldn't be found with just gas exchange or just fluorescence. Combining the two gives you a lot more power. We've also improved the CO2 water vapor and temperature controls. So anytime you are making measurements, you clamp the chamber onto a leaf and you're actively controlling the carbon dioxide it's getting, the water vapor it's getting, the temperature and the light. All of that we've tried to improve in some way. So one of the aspects that we introduced with the 6800 was automated water vapor control. So in addition to desiccant and soda lime, now there's a third chemical column that actually adds water vapor back into the airstream. The instrument automatically adjusts how much water, how much air goes through that humidifier column, how much air goes through the desiccant column, to really precisely control humidity inside the chamber. So that gives you a lot more control over what the plant is experiencing, and you can even do vapor pressure deficit response curves with that improvement. We've also improved the battery life, the weight of the instrument, how long the chemicals last, how long the filters last, a lot of different aspects about how the instrument is being used. With improvements in the infrared gas analyzer itself, as well as the flow path, we can get faster survey measurements. So if you're going out to the field and taking spot measurements on leaf after leaf after leaf, if you set up your environmental controls correctly, you can get stability within 45 seconds. You log a data point and you go on to the next leaf. So that gets you a lot of information very quickly. Plus, the user interface makes the science easier. We've introduced a touch screen where you can see the graphs and the data as well as your stability criteria all on the same screen, and that way you're not having to go back and forth between menus. You can see everything as you're making measurements. Some of the chambers we started out with when we launched the 6800 in 2016 were the 3x3 centimeter light source, as you see on the left. This includes red and blue LEDs that can be independently controlled. And then on the right, you have our fluorometer chamber. So this is where I was talking about gas exchange and fluorescence in the same chamber at the same time. This is the chamber that makes it happen. It has blue, red, and even a far red LED, all with independent control, so you can fine tune that if necessary. And it gives you both actinic light that you would use for normal gas exchange measurements, as well as saturating flash of light for your chlorophyll fluorescence. Some of the other chamber options we have available now that weren't originally with the launch of the 6800 are shown here. So on the top left, you have chambers designed specifically for small plants, Arabidopsis in particular, but we know a lot of you are working with small plants as well. So you can see they're grown in a container. That's the black cylinder at the bottom of that chamber. And that is inserted into the top portion of the chamber. You can actually put a light source on top of that as well to provide specific light to those plants. The light source is shown actually in the conifer chamber there. So this light source gives you blue, red, green, and white LEDs, all again independently controlled. So you can fine-tune the light that these plants are receiving. And that's a 6x6 centimeter chamber. We also give you options for creating your own custom chambers. So that's been a hot topic lately, is how do I measure the whole plant photosynthetic rate? You can build your own chamber. So as the name implies, custom chamber. We don't build the chamber for you, but we give you the kit necessary to adapt your custom chamber to the sensor head. We also have several documents, even a video of how to make these custom chambers for yourself to really close down on a whole plant and measure its photosynthetic rate. We also have options for insect respiration. That's the name we've called this kit, but really you could use it for nuts or berries or fruits. Anything that can fit inside that cylinder, you can measure its respiration rate. And last, we have soil flux, which is easily adapted to the sensor head. You can go out and make soil CO2 flux measurements. Some of the new features, even newer than those chambers, would be small apertures. So the instruments, by default, the fluorometer has a 6 square centimeter aperture, but we have heard a lot of people are working with very small leaves, especially early in the growing season. We're working with small leaves, and the idea is to fill the chamber with leaf material. But if you can't do that, we have introduced the option for smaller apertures, and it's very easy to basically snap in this new plate, which gives you, for the fluorometer, for example, a 2 square centimeter aperture. Similarly, with the 3x3 chamber, you have options for 2x3 or 1x3. We found that's very helpful for people measuring grasses or other long leaves like that. It gives you the option to fill the chamber. That way you don't have to calculate leaf area, which is an important aspect of the photosynthesis calculation. I'm going to talk a little bit about one of the new methods we've introduced. So if you're familiar with ACI curves, CO2 response curves, you're basically controlling every aspect that the leaf is experiencing and changing the CO2 concentration to measure its photosynthetic rate at those different concentrations. You're seeing how it responds. A traditional CO2 response curve might take 20 to 40 minutes, possibly even an hour, depending on how many set points you control. You basically tell the instrument to go to a certain CO2 concentration. You wait for the instrument to get steady state. You wait for the plant to adapt to that new condition. Then you make a measurement and go on to the next set point. However, that does take a lot of time. So One of the features with the 6800, now that we have the ability to go very quickly based on the flow rate and the ergos themselves, they're a lot less noisy, we can actually make this CO2 response curve without having to achieve steady state at every set point. Basically, we're changing the CO2 concentration constantly and measuring the photosynthetic rate of that leaf. So you really can obtain VC max and J max, which are two parameters, important parameters from the CO2 response curve. You can obtain that in 5 minutes of measurements instead of 30. So you can get a lot more sample of that. This is what that looks like. So a traditional CO2 response curve is shown in red. And you can see some discrete points along that curve, but maybe 10 to 15 data points. With the RACER, Rapid ACI curve, you get a lot more data along all of those points in the curve. So this gives you a lot more statistical power when you're analyzing the response curves. So this was published in 2017, Joseph Stinziano, in Plant Cell and Environment. We collaborated with him to develop this technique. We're in the process of introducing new software that allows you to analyze the data a lot faster, because that is kind of a challenge. Analyzing the data, even with traditional CO2 response curves, was quite difficult. So the basics of the measurement, if you're interested in making these measurements for yourself, is to realize that the reference CO2 concentration will always get to its set point faster than sample, because the sample concentration, the volume includes the chamber itself, where the leaf is, and so it does take some time to get to each set point. So CO2S lags the reference concentration. For environmental controls, you do want to control on reference CO2, a fixed vapor pressure deficit. You do want temperature control. You don't want that to be a confounding effect. You do want to work at saturating light, just as you would do for a traditional CO2 response curve. You would need to do an empty chamber correction. For those of you familiar with the 6400, you would have to match at each set point. Make sure that your reference and sample readings are reading the same thing when they're seeing the same air. This is a similar idea. So you would have to do an empty chamber correction without a leaf in the chamber, just to make sure that you're quantifying how the instrument responds. That way, when you do the actual response curve, the only difference is the leaf. And then basically you acclimate the plant at ambient CO2 concentrations, then ramp the CO2 control at 100 parts per million per minute. So 5 to 10 minutes will get you the data you need. With that, I'm going to kind of switch gears and talk about some new advancements in our photosynthetically active radiation measurements, light intensity measurements. So just last year, we introduced the LI-180 spectrometer. This measures light intensity at different wavelengths with a 1 nanometer resolution. Provides a graph like you see there on the screen. It also provides a summary of the red, blue, green, near UV, infrared light intensities, as well as total PPFD, which would be 400 to 700 nanometers, and PFD, which in this case is 380 to 780 nanometers. So it doesn't quite go out all the way to the UV or all the way to the infrared, but it does give you a nice picture of what light your plants are receiving and the quality of that light and the different colors involved. So this is a battery-operated spectrometer, handheld device. As you can see, you can take it out into the field and make manual measurements, or you can set it up to automatically measure every so often. It does come with a tripod mount, so you can set it on a tripod as well. And as you can see here, there's a detachable sensor. So the actual sensor itself with the diffuser can be linked to the console with a USB cable. It's not fully detachable, but you can at least move the sensor to exactly where you want it to be while still keeping the console readable. And this device logs the data to a USB, or sorry, a SD card. And you can transmit it to the computer either by ejecting the SD card or connecting with USB. And there's also a mobile app, so you can control it with your phone. And the data format is in an Excel file as well as a JPEG of this this image that you see. So the Excel file has each of the light intensities for every nanometer in the 380 to 780 range. And for those of you that are not quite interested in all of the information of each color, we still have the LI-190 quantum sensor, which gives you total PPFD, total light intensity between 400 and 700 nanometers. We have some new packages available that are designed to bring the cost down for making these measurements in a greenhouse or growth chamber or even outside. The LI-250Q package is the one shown on the left. That's a handheld readout device, so it'll display the numbers. And it's ideal for spot measurements. You can take the sensor and the handheld device out into your greenhouse and just see what the light intensity is. For those of you that want to log the data and actually record it, the LI-1500 would be more ideal. That's the one on the right. That connects to one of the quantum sensors as well. And that is designed to log the data either manually, you can push the log button, or you can set it up for automated measurements, even turn on at 6 a.m., turn off at 6 p.m., and only make measurements during that time. You can also, it'll also calculate daily light integral for you. So it's really designed to be a standalone data logger and a handheld logger all in one. So you could use it for spot measurements and for long-term measurements at the same time. And last, I'll talk about some of our advancements to our carbon dioxide and water vapor analyzers. So the for those of you familiar with our previous products, the LI-820 and the LI-840A, very similar look to this. They look a lot like this CO2 analyzer here, but we've really taken that technology and improved it even more. So the LI-830 measures CO2 only. The LI-850 measures CO2 and water vapor, which is more ideal for greenhouses, basically anywhere with humidity. You use the water vapor measurement to correct the CO2 measurement. So that's more ideal for measurements in a greenhouse, as shown here. Some people have also shown interest in using this analyzer to measure respiration from, again, fruits, nuts, and berries. Or insects, you could use it for small volume injections, soil flux, all kinds of different things. So it's really a standalone baseline CO2 and water vapor analyzer. Some of the improvements we've made to the analyzer itself would be the ability to connect with USB as well as RS-232 and analog signals. So you can connect this to a computer or a data logger. An optional pump and an optional display, those are very nice features. So the pump would go inside the case and just sucks air through the analyzer. The display sits on top, as you can see there, or over at our booth, and just displays the numbers in real time. And then last, it can run off AC or DC power, giving you a lot of different options to connect it to whatever you need to, whether you're in a greenhouse or growth chamber or a lab, or even out in the field. So there's a lot of different options for using this carbon dioxide analyzer, and it's really up to you how you want to integrate them into your system. So as always, you can contact us at LICOR. I'm in our support department, and we have a variety of different experts that can help answer your questions. Even before you buy an instrument, which instrument is right for you, what kinds of things would you need. We can help on how you would set up your experiments, things like that. So we have a lot of different experts that are ready to answer all of your questions. So with that, I would like to invite any questions. Yes?
So for Scalberry, what's the aperture size?
All right, so the question was for a strawberry leaf, what size of aperture would you recommend? It really depends on how old the strawberries are, right? If you're talking really tiny, I would go the smaller the better. So the smallest aperture we have for the 6800 is a 2 square centimeter aperture. If you can't fill the aperture, there's still options to change the area in the software. You would need to figure out a way to calculate that area, since it is important for the photosynthesis calculation. Yes?
So for the replicating eye curves, you said that you need to do that at saturated light levels, and I know that that is a common way to do it, but I don't think there's a theoretical reason why you can't.
Right, so the question was, that you may not need to do CO2 response curves at saturating light. That's true, actually. The 6800 gives you the option to do a nested CO2 and light response curve. So you could actually do CO2 response curves at different light intensities automatically. And identify if there are any differences or not, or what data can you learn from that. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. You probably don't need to do it at saturating light. I think that's something that's still in development. So.
I think in general, we take too many measurements at saturating light levels.
Right.
Leaves typically almost not at saturating light levels.
Exactly. Right. It's not representative of what the leaf is actually experiencing in the field. Yeah. Yes. Right. Okay. It's not normal. So the big question was, if you set a certain vapor pressure deficit, the instrument should stay at that setting. If it does change, it could be because your chemicals were drying out or becoming exhausted. So the instrument controls how much air is going through desiccant and how much air is going through the humidifier to really precisely control that. If one of those chemicals is becoming exhausted, can't keep up, then your VPD might start to change. So that's something I would look at as part of the warm-up test. The instrument can actually tell you if the chemicals are becoming exhausted, if they're not scrubbing as efficiently as they should be, or adding as much water vapor as they should be. So that's something I would look at, is making sure the chemicals are working as they should. So it's probably not a problem with the instrument, but just the chemicals which do get exhausted over time. I would recommend checking the chemicals first and then maybe redoing some of those. So unless you're okay with changing VPD, and that's fine too. So, all right, looks like we're out of time. Thank you for your attention.